I can't, but God can. I am very thankful for that. I have a message that the Lord has been dealing with me about for myself, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. If I could put a title to it, it would be My Expectation. It's mine. I'm the one that came up with it.
I'd like to start with a story over in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. This tells us about a man that had an expectation. His name was Naaman. The first verse of that 5th chapter describes this man. He was a great man with his master. He was honorable. He was a mighty man in valor. He was quite a man. But there's just another little piece that finishes out that verse. But he was a leper. And in my mind, I can see that all of Syria was available to him for help. But there was no help for this. Enough that, you know, you hear about clinging to a straw. He had a little straw of hope come to him one day when the little maid said, if you could just get down to Samaria, there's a prophet there that could heal you. And, you know, he had probably been to Samaria before because he had brought back some captives from out down in that area. But hope revives in him. And he starts, and here's what this lesson is for me. There's a lesson here in human nature. My expectation of how things should be starts growing. From the time he heard that from the little maid until the time he stood in front of the prophet's door, he had an expectation of how this is going to come to pass. He had some time to think about it. He had some time to take a lot of treasure to pay off for this job. It was going to be valuable for him. And he started expecting how it should come to pass. In the 9th verse, we get a picture of that expectation. Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, with his leprosy. Doesn't say anything about that. He came to show what he's willing to give for a swap. He stood with those things at the door of the house of Elisha with some expectation. This is going to be a big show. How it's going to come to pass. You know, I can look at him and say, how foolish. This man is in need of help from God. Nothing else can help him. And yet he gets some expectation. I'm still somebody. You know, you take this first verse, that's still who he was, a mighty man of valor. But he's got leprosy and he needs the Lord's help. You know, it's amazing how God works with us. One thing that I believe we can always find in our expectations is a couple verses. My glory I will not share with another.
That's right.
And another one is that no flesh should glory in his presence.
Yes.
So from Naaman's story to our story, we can kind of expect, if I'm desiring God to be able to do something for me, I can expect those to be some ingredients in it. And it was for Naaman. He stands at the gate expecting, well, he tells us what he expected. In the 10th verse, Elisha didn't even come out of the house. Sent his servant. You can't get much lower than that. I won't even talk to you. My servant has a little message for you. And tells him a simple message. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And here's a lesson in human nature for him and for me. Naaman was wroth. He went away and said, behold, I thought. My thinking started in this process of how God was supposed to take care of his business. I thought he will surely come out to me, stand, call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. This is what I thought. You know, and it says he was wroth. He is about to pass up an opportunity to be blessed by God, because I expected it to go this way. You ever have expectations? We have time in our mind. We have seen so many times in the past where God has healed, where God has helped people that were in serious trouble. This is not just about healing. This is all through our life. Yes. Expectations that I can get building in my mind of the direction that God will take it. I had thought. There's a verse of a song. It says, God's way is best if human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show. You ever had that happen in your life? Lord, if you would do it this way, I think it would be really good. I remember Sister Taylor here in the congregation years ago, starting to lose her eyesight. She thought, and she shared her thoughts with us in prayer meeting. She thought, Lord, and she asked the Lord this, Lord, if you would heal me, I will be able to reach more people for you. I'll be able to go out and I'll meet people and I'll tell them what you've done for me. And she continued and went blind. And then she came back with another testimony, because that was just her expectation. But what's really valuable is what I do with my expectation when it doesn't go that way. Hers did not go the way she desired. She's blind now. She's, there's a little verse that says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That waited for her if she would have accepted it. Yes. You know what she did? She climbed up on top of it. And she came back with a testimony. She's blind now. Nothing's changed in that way. But she said, I want to tell you something. The Lord is sending people to me now through hospice and home health care. And she said, what is even better about it? They can't leave. I can talk to them for 45 minutes and they're paid to listen to me. You know, that is our expectation. What we're going to do with our expectation, folks, I'll tell you, when our expectation is not met, it can be the ruin of me. If I'm not careful. Expectation, looking forward to a future event with at least some reason to believe it's going to happen. When we look at the disciples, they had an expectation. In fact, we see about it several times when they're talking between themselves, who is going to be the greatest. They had an expectation of what Christ's kingdom was going to look like. On Palm Sunday, it looked like their expectation was about to become reality. There was multitudes singing Hosanna in the highest. It looks like this thing is just about to come to fruit. And we're going to be involved in it somewhere here. What is it? 5 days later, he's hanging on the cross. And he says, it is finished, and dies. You know what a tumble expectation took with them? We get to read about it when the men were on their way to Emmaus and Jesus hid himself from their understanding who it was that was walking with them. And they opened themselves up to him and they said, we had thought it was going to be this one. but it's over. You know how often that can happen to us, to me? And I say, Lord, help me. I can build some expectations of how God ought to be doing his business in my life and in others' lives. And there is a verse that is very valuable for us in Isaiah. Isaiah 55 and 8. Something I need in my expectations is to realize it a lot of times won't go the way I expected it. And here's the reason. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I need to remember that always. His ways are higher than my ways. There's a verse that a lot of times when we're reading this, we will bypass it because we're looking at his ways and our ways. In that seventh verse, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. You know, I can just kind of cast that verse aside because it's talking about the wicked, and I don't consider myself in that class. I think this verse also applies to me today. Let the righteous forsake his way, my expectation and my thoughts, and return to the Lord. Lord, have your way. And he'll be there to help us out. The way I think God ought to be doing his business. We have in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding, your own expectation of how this ought to be. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. You know, part of that acknowledging him is, Lord, I realize that if I were to build an expectation, I'm building it without being able to see into the next 5 minutes of my life. And he's able to see the complete picture of my life. And he has a desire at the end of it that I make heaven my home. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You know, the Lord directed Naaman's path because he saw, you know what, to do it his way would not have been good for Naaman. He would have went back home that he bought it off. I took a lot of treasure. He was pretty impressed with it, and he healed me. You know, before that thing was over, Naaman was saying, I tell you, Elisha, you won't take any of this treasure. But I tell you what, if you don't mind, let me take a couple bucket loads of dirt back with me. Because I believe God has been here. And I'm going to start worshiping him back at home. You know, God would not have been able to do that if he had followed Naaman's expectation. And you know, really and truly, it won't happen to me either. Jeremiah 29. Talks about an expectation. 29 and 11. This is God talking. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. They're thoughts of peace. Well, you know, if he's thinking thoughts of peace about me, what's going to be going on in my life? I would think it's just as peaceful as could be. There is no trouble at all. He's thinking thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I could take that one verse and have some expectation in my own life. Lord, you said you're thinking thoughts of peace toward them. You're probably thinking them toward me also. So, Lord, tell me the picture. What was happening at this time? You know what was happening? Just before that in this chapter, we see some things that had happened. They're now in Babylon. They will be there for 70 years. And those are God's thoughts of peace. You know what it says? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, I remember when Mom, she was the one that administered the punishment for us, and she did it well. You know what she was really doing when she did it? She was kind of like this 29:11, I have thoughts of peace. I have an expected end, and it didn't take 70 years, but it took her quite a while of working with it. You remember the verse that says over in Hebrews 12:11, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but it's grievous. My expectations of peace did not include those whippings. But it says, nevertheless, afterward, it has a yield to it. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know what? I believe maybe she had that verse in mind when she was working it. We're not there yet. We've got a ways to go, but I still got some thoughts of peace. I want him to have an expected end. I want my son, whenever he leaves home, to have a desire to live for God himself and to be able to have a strong footing. So I'm going to do what is needed to be done to be able to do that. You know, God was doing that when he's saying here in 29:11, I have thoughts of peace towards you. You won't be able to understand it for a long time. 70 years is a long time. And you know, there were some prophets, other prophets also, that had an expected end, had some expectation, and they talked about it. God's been talking to me also, and we will only be here 2 years. 2 years, and we will be out of captivity and heading back home again. Remember Jeremiah talking to him? Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. God has said this is going to go on for 70 years. What I like about that is he didn't leave them hanging. He gave them some instruction. I believe that instruction is important for me today. When adversity is going on in my life, and it may go for a long time, and I'm wondering, where is God? And all the time, he's thinking thoughts toward me, thoughts of peace and not of evil, trying to bring you to an expected end. What's his expected end for every one of us? Heaven, our home at the end of life. And he will do whatever he can, whatever we will let him do, to help us be able to get there. So he has just told these children of Israel, it'll be 70 years. But he gives them some instruction. Here's the instruction. Build houses. Dwell in them. Plant gardens. Eat the fruit of it. Take ye wives, beget sons and daughters. You know what? We're settling down to live now. We're going to be here, and instead of in chaos, we're going to do something with this, because this is some of God's thoughts of peace toward me in the middle of adversity. And it says, seek the peace of the city wherewith I have caused you to be carried away captive. Pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. There's a lot of instruction in this for us. No matter what you go through in your life that brings adversity into it, always keep 29:11 of Jeremiah in your mind. God's got a plan with it. It's not out of control. He has thoughts of peace. Maybe it's going to be 70 years. Maybe it's going to be quite a bit of time. When I look at those things, my prayer is, Lord, get me out of this trouble fast. You know, I'm willing to suffer for the Lord. I've had the flu before. I'm willing to suffer 24 hours, and then I'd like for it to be over, because I got work I got to do. I've got other things in my mind. The Lord has a desire to work some things in me, in all of us. You know, acceptance comes. It has to. These folks are going to be there whether they accept it in their heart or not. You know, acceptance can come in different ways. I just can't get out of it. So I'm going to just put up with it. But I'm not very happy about it. Here's some folks that were not very happy about it. Psalms. This is in this group that God has said, I have thoughts of peace toward you to bring you to an expected end. But here's some folks that we went ahead and read about them. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. We wept when we remembered Zion. When I thought of all the good things that God had done for me in the past and where I am now, I just wept. And it says, we hanged our harps on the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. They that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You know, I don't believe that was laughing at them. I believe that was, you know, we have heard those songs and they have a ring to them. I'd like to hear that again. Were they ready to sing? You know what? Their song was going to come, you get me out of trouble, and we'll send you back a CD from Zion because we'll be happy again. That would be our place today. Get me out of this trouble and I'll have a song. And you know what? One of these verses says, fifth verse, fourth verse, how are we going to sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Folks, when we have trouble coming into our life, we're in a strange land. It's not where we want to be. And the next verse says, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. I tell you what, if I forget all the good things that God has done for me in the past and I just accept this trouble in my life, I won't do it. If I forget thee, I hang my harps on the willow tree. Have you read recently Hinds Feet on High Places? There is a lesson in that about our desires, the way we would like for it to be. In that story, there's about a young girl that's crippled. Her name is Much Afraid. She has a desire to go to the high places, the mountains. And the shepherd says, I'll take you there. And in fact, I'm going to give you some guides. Not just one, I'm going to give you two. It's guaranteed they'll take you there. Yes. 2024, they'll take you there. Sorrow and suffering. You know what? I don't want to travel with them, nor did she. But the shepherd said, this is the way to get to the mountains. You know what? It's going to be our way to get to the mountains. To be able to make heaven our home, God's going to send some things in our lives that we would like to have different. So the guides start out taking her. She can see the mountains. And here's the easiest way to get there. And they turn and go into the desert. You remember she had a thing where the shepherd told her, at any time you can call and I'll be back right by your side. And she called out to him, you told me you were going to take me to the mountains. They're taking me to the desert. And he said, this is the way to the mountains. You folks, there are some lessons for me to learn, for us to learn in the desert before we get to the mountains of heaven. One of those lessons for her was they came to a little village, huts, out in the desert, nothing growing. And there's a water tank, and there's a little pipe feeding over to the huts. And this water pipe has a tiny little hole in it, and it's dripping on the desert floor. And in that little spot of moisture is the most beautiful flower. And she asked, what's the name of this flower? Acceptance with joy. You know, folks, we can get into some troubles where I finally say, I'm going to accept it, but I'm not going to be able to attach joy to it. It's more endurance than anything. There is a place for us to be able to have joy attached to it. While some of those captives hang their harps on the willow tree, Daniel built houses and vineyards with his life. He went out, he took exactly what was told to do, and he built something with it. If anybody prayed for the peace of the city, he did it. When he came out of the lion's den, he had a message for the king. You know, we can have some, the things that have happened in our life, we have some responses down inside. Maybe we will say them and maybe we won't, of why they happen. There's a lot of things Daniel could have said to the king on the next morning when the king cries out, "Oh, Daniel, has God saved you?" He could have said, "You were so foolish, always out looking for yourself. Here somebody comes and says, make a decree that nobody prays to anybody but you, and you signed it. That was so foolish of you." He didn't say it. What did he say? "Oh, king, live forever. Keep on just however you're going to pass laws or whatever, because they really don't affect me. King, live on forever. I've got a respect for the position that you hold." You know, there's something valuable, the vineyard that Daniel raised in his life. When he realized what was about to happen, "I can be soon put in the lion's den," he continued opening his window and praying and thanking God. I think we heard this morning, maybe before a song, about us having thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. Whatever did Daniel have to give thanks for? The most valuable thing that we can give thanks for is that God is right there with us. What if God was confined to Jerusalem? If you're in Jerusalem, I'll bless you, but you get carried away captive and you're on your own. Daniel found out that God was everywhere. God would be with him in the middle of his troubles. You know, there's a whole lot of lessons in these things for me. There's a place over in Luke. Luke, the 11th chapter. It's in the very first verse. "Came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.'" What a thing they're asking. "Lord, teach us to pray." You know what? I need to be asking the same thing today. "Lord, teach me how to pray. I know how to pray. And my prayer is, Lord, how fast can you get me out of this trouble?" He started giving them some instruction. The very first thing that you say in your prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and let it come from my heart. That I have God high. Isaiah 6:1. "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." You know, Isaiah probably had some adversity going on in his life also. And yet he saw God high and lifted up. That didn't change no matter what adversity came into his life. We sing a song sometime, "Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears. God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see." That is what I need to always keep in my mind. And there's also a verse that is a foundation for my faith in him. It's in 2 Samuel 22:31. "A very small little piece, but it's like concrete. As for God, his way is perfect." No matter how it looks to me, and my expectation was different, as for God, his way is perfect. I may not understand it. I may never understand it fully. I may have desires that it would be a different way. But what I must always keep in my mind, God's way is perfect. We sing this song, God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit thyself into his hand. We also sing a song that says, nothing can happen, though life's billows may roll. Nothing can happen, for he's still in control. Nothing can happen unless he says it can. You know what a bedrock of faith that builds? Is just knowing God is in control. Then he goes on to another place when he's teaching them to pray. Say this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As it is in heaven, so let it be done in earth. Now I can say in my city and in my country and all those, you know where I came from? A little bit of dirt. And I think what he's saying is, in this little piece of earth, Lord, I'd like for your will to be done. Because I really can't do much about what the president does except pray for him. I can do a whole lot about this little piece of earth by yielding it to God. And we have songs in our book that are really strong testimonies. One of them says, to thee my all resign. Oh, let thy will be mine. You know, that has a pretty nice tune to it also. But it has got to be more than a tune in my life. It is going to have to be the desire of my heart. To thee my all resign, oh, let thy will be mine. In thy great love divine, keep me, my Lord. A couple of weeks ago, Sister Maxine preached a message in Oklahoma City. The value of anointed songs. You know, I think sometimes I take for granted the anointed songs that we have. What those are is like us meeting together on a Wednesday night. And this songwriter says, I'd like to give you my testimony of what the Lord did for me. You know, we have songs of joy. We have songs of submission. We have songs of, oh, let my will be thine. That's somebody's testimony. And, you know, when I sing those, I'm not a hypocrite if I'm not there. What I can say is, Lord, that's my prayer. That's his testimony, but it's my prayer. Lord, bring me to that place. One of those testimonies that's in our songbook. Yes, dear Lord. That's an easy song to sing. Yes, dear Lord, I will be still. I will trust thee ever. Lord, teach us to pray. How to pray. I'll submit to all thy will. Cling to thee forever. Lord, thou knowest what is best. Confident in this I'll rest. Till I dwell with all the blessed. Folks, I want to tell you, if we make heaven our home, we will thank God for everything he put me through to help me make it. You know, it was his mercy extended to Naaman to allow him to be humbled. He didn't want him to go home the same person that he was that came, even though he had leprosy. There was pride in his heart. And God wanted to humble him down. The Lord has things that he sees in me, in us. No matter what trouble you may go through, let's look at some of these songs where submission comes in. Lord, teach me to pray. I want your will to be done in my life, just like it's done in heaven. And with all confidence, I believe his will is being done and has always been done in heaven. I don't think heaven ever was chaotic and had to be brought under control. God does not want this piece of earth to be chaotic, but he wants to be able to speak peace in my life also. There's another verse in Romans 8:26. We know not how to pray as we ought. I can look at that verse and say, oh, no, I know how to pray. I'm asking, Lord, daily, here's what I want you to do for me. But what he's saying in those verses right there is the Spirit knows what's the Father's will and is trying to work that in my life. Jesus left us some examples. John 12, he had the ability to make the changes in his life. I can only be wishing I had changes in mine. But he says in the 27th verse of John 12, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. That's the way I pray. Lord, take me out of this trouble that I'm in. But then he realizes it was for this cause that I came into the world. I came to this hour for this very thing that is about to happen. So here's what I will pray. This is an easy verse to read. Father, glorify thy name. That's only four words, but it's going to take every commitment we have to be able to say that from my heart. Father, I got one desire, glorify your name. And a response came back from heaven. I have glorified my name up until now, and I will glorify it again. I believe he wants to do those things in our life. Can God say the same thing about me? Dan, I've glorified my name in your life, and I will glorify it in the future if I will allow it. I believe he wants to say that for every one of us here, no matter what trouble. What does it say? Man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. If you don't have trouble in your life today, thank God for it. Keep on breathing, because it's coming. To every one of us, something is going to come, and it can be in all different forms. But I think this is a secret for us. Lord, I want your will to be done in this trouble that has come to my life. You know what? It may not even be completely for the person going through the trouble. God may see somebody else that will see this trouble, and it will have something to do in helping them. There is a song that we sing, again, as someone's testimony. It's a strong testimony. If I can have this testimony from my heart in my life, God's name will be glorified. Song number 55, The Bondage. That doesn't sound like much fun. It's the bondage of love. Yes. Folks, I've got to love the Lord with all. He told me way back there in the beginning, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Nothing else is going to work through this. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. This one says the bondage of love. I'm serving the Lord because I love him. And it says, O sweet will of God, thou hast girded me round. Now that's quite a statement in itself. Maybe all good things are going on in his life at that time. Maybe not. Maybe he was in a place, this songwriter might have been in a place to where he could hold both of them, one in each hand, and balance them out, because God's in control and his will is being done. Then there comes a verse that says, forever. You know, that's a long time. That finishes out my life here. Forever I choose the goodwill of my God. You know how many times that little statement is going to cross my will and the way I would like for things to be done? Then it goes on and says, roll on, checkered seasons. Bring smiles or bring tears. It's going to, whether we want it to or not. What does it say? My soul sweetly sails. Folks, there is a place, and that's my prayer more than my testimony maybe this morning. I desire to be there. There's a verse that says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. The very thing that God said, I want to bring you to expected end. I have thoughts of peace to you. the end of that man is going to be peace. There's also a verse in Hebrews 12 and 1. We are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. I hope you have in your life faithful people in your memory that just let my God his dear purpose fulfill. I have them in mine.
Yes.
I watched Aunt Nelda. You know, sometimes I heard in the end of the Sunday school lesson today, praise of men, praise of God. And then Sister Charlotte asked a question, well, we appreciate faithful people. You know, we do not glorify Aunt Nelda. What I find is she tapped into a source that is available for every one of us. And this song that gives us all these things, forever I choose the good will of my God. When she made those choices, it was not because she was a spiritual giant. I don't think she would have considered herself to be that. What she did was she just tapped into the source that would give her the peace that he said he would bring. I just let my God, his dear purpose, fulfill. This is our summer meeting. She anticipated camp meetings like nobody else I hardly knew. Hers was to go to Monarch and be in the prayer meeting, be in every service, head back to her trailer just as soon as service was over and rest up for the next one. Her anticipation, her expectation was that she was going to do that a few years ago in this meeting, the summer meeting. So she went out, do her grocery shopping, do all the things she needed, because I don't want anything to hinder me from being in service. So she's coming home from grocery shopping. She's coming out of her van. She's in a handicap buggy. Some of the groceries fell from the bag against the speed control and turned it wide open and rammed her into the wall and broke both legs. You know, God's got thoughts of peace about her also. Did she need it? You know, she was already surrendered to God. You can do whatever you want to with it. She was surrendered. But I tell you what, it sure made an impact on me. Talk about bitterness when camp meeting's going on and I'm laying up in bed with both legs broke and saying, why? You know, we have a Sunday school periodical that came out this time with that one question, why? You know, we can have a lot of questions. Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? Jesus said, I've got a peace I want to give you. It's not like the world can give. The world's peace will come when everything is settled and there's no trouble in my life. You know how short that lives before another trouble comes. But Jesus said, I've got a peace that I want to give you, not like the world can give. This is the kind of peace. That peace comes when my all is resigned to him. Tomorrow it can get better. Tomorrow it can get worse. Now when it gets worse, he gives me the opportunity to tell him that I'd like for it to be better. With thanksgiving, go ahead and let your request be made known to God. Jesus left us an example with that also. When he prayed three times, what did he go back and pray three times for? Because he had a struggle himself. Lord, if it be possible, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. You know, I'm glad it says he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He struggled with his own fleshly desires right there. He knew the trouble that was coming, and he desired if there's any other way. And what did he close it out with? For me to have victory in my life, he closed his with the same thing I need to close my requests and prayers with. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When I can say that from my heart, there's going to be a peace like nothing else can give. Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, says, I went down to the potter's house, and he wrought a work on the wheels. And there were some things he said there. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Can I shape you? Will you allow me to shape you how I see it to be best? There's another verse over in Romans 9 and 20. Seems almost like a foolish question, except I find myself doing it sometime. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why? Why have you made me thus? You know what? There's going to be peace gone when I live too long in the why category. God has a place for us. Hebrews 4 and 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Today there is a lot of trouble among us in afflictions. Just people have an adversity in their lives. And yet there comes at that same time this little promise. There's a rest for the people of God. How is it possible in 2024 with all the troubles we're going through? It's all these songs, and we have only sung just or looked at just a few of them, of people that came to a place where they gave their will to God. I may not understand what all he's doing with it. And I can tell him I'd like for it to be different. He lets me do that. But if I'm going to maintain my peace, I'm going to have to end that request with, Lord, you know what's best. So I want to close with one more verse of a song. God's way is best. All these others have been telling me, all these verses of Psalm 111, have been telling me what my heart needs to be doing. Cease thy struggling, all those things. But you know what? I've got to make a decision what I do with that. And this last verse, I could just hear this person testifying in Wednesday night prayer meeting. I had all these thoughts coming to my mind, but I finally made up my mind, and here's what it is. God's way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me, and safe to glory bring my soul. God's way is best. So I want to tell you, this message is for me. Just want to share it with you. God's way is best. And what I would like to have, as I look at the testimonies of these songwriters that we're blessed by, I would like to move more into that category of yielding my will into his will. Our Father which art in heaven, very first thing, God, you're high and lifted up. You will be high and lifted up no matter what adversity comes into my life. That will not change. Have you ever had trouble come in your life and you say, I think the devil's causing me some trouble. In fact, I'm going to rebuke the devil. What if it was God working his purpose in my life? And I'm sitting there telling the devil, get on down the road. And the Lord's saying, would you please? It's me. You know, with Job, we read about Naaman's description. He had a lot of honorable things about him, but he was a leper. Job's description by God himself said he was a perfect and an upright man. What else do you need to do to a perfect and an upright man? Was God in control when the trouble came? We say, no, it was Satan that did that. You know, God allowed it. And Job's victory came when he did not pass any of it back to Satan or the tools that he was using. What did he say? The Lord gave, and the Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will have victory in my life when I can say from my heart the same thing. And maybe out in the future, you will have to remind me of this message. May God help us all.